third down and 20.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Third and 20 Dynasty Podcast. I'm JT, joined by Jake, Frank, Lunas. Season 3, episode 40, and we are a couple weeks removed from the NFL draft, and at this point, not a lot going on right now, so I think we're going to do more of a rookie draft-centric discussion, maybe some talk about some old running backs, but yeah, guys, what's going on?
I mean, I imagine a lot of people either just got done with a lot of rookie drafts or maybe in the midst of it currently. I know a lot of leagues like to draft in this, like, May 4th to, like, May 16th, 18th window. I know I just got done with most of my leagues. So, yeah. I mean, Jake, you wanted to get into the old running back conversation. So I kind of want to start off with that. What were you thinking? Because I've seen a lot of talk on people having a hard time with some of these old running backs.
Right, because I mean, we've discussed this before of, you know, the Christian McCaffrey is kind of in a class of his own here because he's just such a cheat code when he's healthy. But I'm talking about, you know, the Nick Chubbs, the Derrick Henrys, the Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, these type of backs, that the once elite backs of the NFL, right? And what do you do with them now? Because they're all to the point where they're no longer worth a first-round pick. And then I think, or at least you're going to struggle to get that first-round pick for these guys because they've hit that magical running back number of 27, and now everyone's scared of them, and they're deteriorating, and they're going to be replaced by anybody that shows up in wherever they play. And it's just such a difficult thing to deal with because at the end of the day, Derrick Henry is going to put up a lot of fantasy points next year. Dalvin Cook is going to put up a lot of fantasy points next year. Like, Nick Chubb is going to put up a lot of fantasy points next year. So you can't just sell them for scraps here, right? You can't just say, oh, I'll take a mid-second and move on. Like, it's not worth it. To me, at that point, you're just stuck riding these guys to the retirement home, right? You're just stuck till they die on your roster, because what are you going to do? Trade them for a third, a second? No. So I'm interested to see what you guys think. I think it's just a tough situation for all of these guys that I just talked about. You got Taylor in there, even though he's coming off a running back 3 year, ranked a little higher than these guys, but he's at that 28 number now. So, like, what do you think?
You can go first, Richard.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I think it's very dependent based on players, right? So I'm just going to do a breakdown of each of them, like the ones that you mentioned. Like, Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb, you hold for a little bit. Give it like a month or two. Because I think what's going to happen is it's going to be official that Kareem Hunt's not going to be with the Browns, right? That's going to happen. So then Nick Chubb is going to ride a value boost. And at that point, I think you just get, because I think it's going to be over at whatever price is.
Sure, but like, not all of these guys have this fancy escape rope, right?
Well, that's why I said it's specific. So then Derrick Henry, for example, I think you just ride Derrick Henry until the wheels fall off. Same with Alvin Kamara. I think you just ride to him until the wheels fall off, because I think at this point where they're valued, you're just not going to get similar production from the, like, whatever value you're able to trade for. You're just going to have to build back value in other ways, which is fine. That's fine. Sometimes that's just what has to happen. There's no point in trading a third, like Alvin Kamara, for a late second round pick. You're just not going to recoup your value ever. So you might as well just hold on with the points. Then when we talk about, like, the one that I'm still, like, stuck on is Dalvin Cook. Because he's the one that I'm like, is he actually washed? Is Dalvin Cook washed? That's the one where I'm like,
I mean, listen, there'll be a sell window coming up for him soon, because it looks like Minnesota's going to cut him. And I'm guessing the team that signs Dalvin Cook is going to be a team that's, like, a contender, or at least should be a high-scoring offense. Like, I'm looking at a team like Miami. That's kind of been the one, like, a lot of rumors. And I think once that happens, there'll be an increased price sell window. that you can ship him off at. Because I think there'll be a lot of hype if like Miami signs him or Cincinnati, whatever it may be.
Like, I mean, you're saying Dalvin Cook's washed. He had almost 1,200 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns on the ground, and added another 300 in the air with another 2 receiving touchdowns. So he had about 1,500 yards total and 12 touchdowns or 10 touchdowns last year. That doesn't sound so washed to me. I mean, that's obviously the whole point of this discussion is like, what can you possibly do with Dalvin Cook? Is it just worth holding him, even with a potential change in scenery here? Or do you try to transition him into something you feel more comfortable in and throw an asset on top? Or do you just ride him till the wheels fall off?
So in my opinion, this scenario you are mentioning is exactly what I call the contender's gift. That's what I'm coining it. It's the contender's gift.
I honestly love that term.
And the reason and this applies to other players as well, the Tyler Lockett's of the world, probably right now Brandon Cooks is a player that I would be trying to do this with. And I think that after you brought this up, I am adding all of these old elite running backs to this list. Because to me, what I want to do with my assets is sell the overhyped young players for a lot of value, and then my second round picks, which as a contender are going to be late, but they're still a second, I want to transition into these types of players. Because A, the hit rate on these late second round picks is really not that great, and I feel like if you look at it in depth, it depends on the class and everything. I will forewarn with that. But I think a late second and a mid third hit rate perspective are really not that apart, yet the value difference it takes to acquire these late seconds versus these mid thirds, especially at this point, if you're doing it in 2024, massive. So if I'm a contender and I need these flex plays, my seconds, my random young players and whatnot, I will gladly transition into these types of assets, right? And by the young players, what I want to do is, let's say I have George Pickens, right? If I could get that magical, I get a first and a second, maybe give Pickens and a smidge, and then I take my current second and that second I pick up, turn it into Dalvin Cook and, I don't know, give me another one of these motherfuckers. Alvin Kamara. If I do that for George Pickens, and I net my a first-round pick, George Pickens and a smidge, George Pickens and a third to do that, I both gain stability with the first and now have even more points with these old backs. I don't care if one of them blows up. Give me one of their seasons last year, and it's a good trade for like both perspectives. This is the contender's gift right here. And the other amazing thing, want to know what the super amazing thing is? A year or two from now, when we're still in this scenario, just instead of seconds, we're talking about thirds. You can get a fucking third.
Yeah. And a few of these backs have been kind of in this spot for a couple of years, especially I feel like Kamara and Aaron Jones have both kind of been like, it was hard for them to do first. I do agree from your side in terms of buying them as a contender. I think they're some of the best value buys you can have out of any player that can like push your team over the edge. I do see where like Jake's coming from though, where it kind of becomes tough if say you have him on your team and you think like maybe my team's decent, but I don't think I'm like a top 2 or 3 team in the league. Like, what do? I don't want to sell low on this player. And I do think it's a kind of a case by case basis. Cause I do agree with like JT, like Nick Chubb, I think if you wait a little bit into the season, I think the Browns offense will be better this year. I think you can get a good return. Dalvin Cook, there might be hype around, like, if he switches offenses to somewhere like Miami where people are going to think he's going to go off. And I would think so as well. In terms of the others, it is kind of tough where I think I lean towards JT's side, where if I can't find the value that I want, I'd rather just kind of ride until the wheels fall off rather than, like, sell low on some of these guys.
Right, but, I mean, I guess there's a bigger issue at hand here if you're, you know, a rebuilding team that has one of these aging backs in the first place. But if you're a rebuilding team that has Dalvin Cook or someone that wants to enter a rebuild with Dalvin Cook, let's say, you know, you had two of these guys and you had some great years in the past 4 years, and now it's time to go, yeah, it's time to restart this. And you're trying to kickstart that rebuild by selling off some of these backs, you're just simply not going to get the value you need.
Well, timeout. Because I kind of disagree with this thinking a little bit just off the bat. Because I don't think there's many scenarios where I'm walking in and being like, oh, shit, well, am I a rebuilder or not? Like, I feel like a lot of time it's like, if you have a chance at winning the chip, outside of extraneous circumstances, it's either you're going for the chip or you are not. Like, and That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying, like, you had, you know, Dalvin Cook and Eckler for the past 4 years. Your team was probably really fucking good. Now you got to this point and you're going, oh, crap, my two running backs are 28 years old.
We're going for value. We want to go down the value route. Like,
right. So if you're going to play that game, I honestly think you're not going to get the value you want trading for picks straight up, because people place this this tax, I'm going to call it, on their draft picks because they know what they can turn into. Do you go after, like, just package them all together for one shiny new young player and just say, this is what it is, and this is the centerpiece of my rebuild?
Probably, just because that's what we had success with in our heavy rebuild. And I'll bring up a Reddit post that I saw the other day really quickly. It says in the Dynasty Reddit, who has leverage in a trade? Rebuilders or contenders? And I think if you look in any somewhat savvy league, the contenders are going to have all of the leverage.
Yes.
Right? I've seen a lot of people in this league, oh, the rebuilders, oh, it depends on the time, oh, it depends on the league. It's like, no, everyone wants the good young things, and only the guys who want to win want the old things. So, like, if you're a rebuilder and you have these old things, you kind of just, from going through this, I don't know the answer, to be honest with you, but from going through it with some of these dog shit orphans I've taken over, you just have to suck it up and offer them out. You're going to get rejected a lot, and you're going to have to take a slight underpay, or even better, do your strat if possible to take, like, you know, Alvin Kamara is probably a good example where he's an old player, but he's not bad, right? Like, when he plays, he's good. So he still has at least some semblance of value in that regard, right? You take him with a D-hop, you can smush them together into a good young player, like at least a Jahan Dotson caliber player. And it's going to look like a shitty trade potentially at first, but what would you rather hold? D-hop and fucking Kamara or Jahan Dotson? Like, it's as simple as that. Like, just to take off of your, oh, I have to win every trade cap for a second, and realize if you hold these dudes, you're fucked. Like,
and value changes really fast, especially once you kind of get towards that age group with some of these backs. Like, I mean, for example, now, like, look at Zeke now versus, like, a year ago or 2 years ago. Value's kind of fallen off a cliff. And, like, we kind of realized that, like, by last summer was, like, the last time you could really get decent value for him. Yeah. So I agree with you in that sense.
You just have to transition these assets into things that, and this is for your entire team, this is how I'm looking at the problem now, into things that at least can go up in value. Because you're not, there's no positions, there's no filling needs because your team is dog shit, right? And you're going for value. You can't win, so you've determined that you're not good enough, so you're dog shit. You don't care about positions, and you need to just somehow identify which assets can go up the most for the cheapest price. And JT actually convinced me on this the other day in my rookie draft for one of these orphans. At 201, I was going to take my boy Devin Achane because I love Achane, but he convinced me, dude, no, you want to take Will Levis. Because in terms of risk and reward, you can make the argument that from year one to year two, Will Levis is both the safest and has the most upside for your 201.
So let me see if I got this straight. He's the safest because he's likely not going to play.
He's the safest because for whatever reason, when you look at the previous prices and you see Dwayne Haskins still tradable for almost your investment price up front, and Drew Lock going up in value, and, like, all these other, like, Will Levis-y profile-y type of players that either remained or went up in value that ended up sucking complete ass, it's like, well, shit, like, I kind of have to.
I also just, I don't know why, maybe it's just anecdotal, but I find that it's easier to trade quarterbacks into other quarterbacks. Like in Superflex leagues, it's much harder to. Yeah.
It's just because when someone's trading a quarterback, they're like, oh, I need to get one back, like, because there's not many of them. So people freak out about that.
So even if you don't, like, say you think Will Levis is the worst quarterback on earth, which, I mean, my pre-draft evaluation on him wasn't, like, too far off from that. Say you think he's just awful, right? And say you think he's got no career in the NFL, like, he might get one or two starts, and then that's it. You could still move off Will Levis into a player that you like and be easier. It's going to be easier to trade into Dak Prescott with a Will Levis than it is to trade into Dak Prescott with an aging. It's just kind of how it is. So you give up slightly less, or you're able to get the deal done more so because you have that quarterback and are like, hey, I'll give you Will Levis plus a first. I'm just making up. I don't know what the actual value differences are. But that's the route I think you go, rather than just take an A-chain and hope that he pops on Miami, when we haven't seen Miami really do that yet with a running back they've been taking from the draft in recent years, at least.
God damn, JT, you're really convincing.
No, convinced me as well. I really like A-chain still. And I think the other thing I would dispel is the whole, like, you can't draft a running back in a rebuild. Like, you just have to draft the best player. And running backs are, a lot of the time, like, the best player and the safest player.
You just got to know when to sell them off. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not smashing Bijan Robinson at the 101 in your rookie draft, regardless of what the status of your team is, I think you're making a huge mistake. Like, it should be Bijan every time. You just click the button. You just click the Bijan button.
That's the argument that I agreed with JT, is that it's, you're just comparing profiles. You're comparing a running back at, let's say, at 201, that Charbonnet is gone at the 112, and your options are either like a Mingo that was like the next highest drafted guy, or maybe like Rashee Rice, if you want whatever that second round receiver, right? If you're going to go on receiver profile, probably not worth it, because none of those profiles are particularly amazing. You could dip to your pre-draft evaluation and take your Josh Downs, which, like, I don't hate either, but that's kind of going a little bit against the grain there. That's kind of risky. You could take a third round back, which, no matter how much you like them, are notoriously risky assets, right? Like, if you just match up all the third round backs, they probably have, what, a 30% hit rate?
If that.
Somewhere around there. Let's give them 30%. Or you just take the quarterback who, for whatever reason, profiles as almost a riskless investment. Barring that, like, outside of, like, the I get a DUI scenarios, like Ruggs, like, you could, just that. The chances that you can't sell him for a second next year seem very low.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you might lose a couple spots, right? Like, if you trade
a couple, but we've seen that with rookie quarterbacks. Like, you're still able to, like, as bad as his rookie year was, you're still able to sell Zach Wilson after his rookie season for value.
Yeah, but that was a guy. So the difference between Zach Wilson and Levis is clearly the draft capital. One was taken second overall. One was taken 33rd overall. Obviously, there were all those reports of people wanting to trade into the back of the first round to try to take Levis, blah, 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 blah. Who knows how true that is. Either way, he ended up in this Drew Lock spot, right? This, you know, first few picks of the second round. And JT, you've really talked me into this, because I think you're right. I think at worst, next year you turn around, and if you're still out on him, right, if you hate what you see in the rookie year, you turn around and you go, all right, I'll take 208 for him, move on. And you lost, what, a couple spots probably? Probably took him at 201, 202, whatever. You moved down a couple spots for the potential reward of,
you're still in the game. You're still in the game. You still have a ticket to the dance.
Right. And you move down a couple spots for the possibility of, you know, that junior year Will Levis that we saw, that guy that was just all over the field at Kentucky and everyone was projecting to be a top five pick for sure. So, like, I don't hate it, and I think it, like you're saying, Frank, it's pretty much riskless at this point. Like, at best, he hits and you got a quarterback for nothing. At worst, you trade him off for a mid to late second next year and you move on.
Yeah, I just think based on off of profiles, it kind of makes sense. If there was a running back or a receiver or a tight end, I guess you can definitely make an argument for Michael Mayer if he's available or Laporta if they're available. Yeah. I'm going to count them out because I actually think that they're also good buys potentially there in a rebuild. But yeah. Will Levis has more upside than they do.
I mean, just based on the fact that he's a quarterback, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I think with what we've seen, I'm finding Will Levis available later and later each draft where Mayer and them seem to be going, kind of climbing the board a little bit. But now if I look on Keep Trade Cut, I'm looking at Will Levis. I should look at the sleeper ADP too to see. I'll check that in a second. Yeah, Will Levis is going behind like Brock Purdy. He's behind Geno Smith, Jared Goff.
Will Levis is two picks ahead of Aaron Rodgers, two picks behind Derek Carr in sleeper ADP at 8-11, sandwiched in between D-Hop and Deontay Johnson, ahead of Dalvin Cook, A-Chain, Aaron Jones, Michael Mayer.
And for reference, that is pick 201 in rookie drafts. He's right behind A-Chain and Charbonnet and right ahead of Mayer and Mingo.
I just think that given the price tag, it makes sense. Like, you get Kenny Pickett's going two rounds higher. Jared Goff is going almost two rounds higher. Russell Wilson, a round and a half.
And we know, we don't know what Kenny Pickett is yet, but we know what Jared Goff is. We're like, we know Jared Goff's not giving you anything.
Jared Goff could be decent.
He could be good, but he's not giving you anything.
The
crazy.
Problem with Jared Goff is that his path to going up more sucks.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing.
Like, he's not at a discount anymore. He's priced as if he's going to be Kirk Cousins now.
And sneaky with Will Levis is he does, at least in college, he did use his legs, at least a little bit.
Yeah,
so, that's interesting.
Can get that. That slight rushing upside.
The Titans just fucking blow. To me, that's the thing that sucks the most is that I wasn't huge on Will Levis to begin with, and the Titans suck.
The problem with this team, too, and it's just going to continue to be the problem with the team until they really build around it, is this is a run-first team. Like, next to the Falcons, I think I'd assume that this team is going to be like up near the top in terms of rush-first pass. So he's kind of capped there.
And their O-line has regressed, too, which is like...
Yeah, they just cut Taylor Lewan, too.
I saw something the other day. It was like the Titans are the only team in the NFL not to break 30 points last season.
Did they really not break 30 points in any game?
No. Every other
I
team
love
did.
This guy.
Yeah. Weird they took Burks over Watson. Weird organization. I love it. Christian Watson.
This guy is just... Wow. He really loves some Christian Watson.
I love him. He's right. He's no, I think Burks is still gonna.
Burks is one of my. He's not like my top buy of the summer, but he's up there in terms of like what the organization has done. The Titans, where they've at least invested in a quarterback, and they didn't really get any high end wide receivers, whether it was through draft or free agency. That I think Burks does stand to actually put up decent points this year if healthy.
I think Burks is finely priced. I think there are some better buys at the receiver position, and I think that there are some players going above him that definitely should not be.
I'd honestly rather have Kyle Phillips. I don't know who's the Kyle Phillips guy in the chat usually.
It's Joe.
I'm not about it.
Phillips?
Kyle Phillips?
Bro, he's going to...
Burks?
Yeah, give me Kyle Phillips.
I'd rather have...
And the value...
Oh, and the value. I'd rather have Traylon over George Pickens, and I think that there's a tier gap in between them. I'd rather have Traylon like easily over Calvin Ridley. I think that Traylon should be worth significantly more than Calvin Ridley.
Same.
Calvin Ridley, I think, is also underrated.
He was starting to play well last year before he got hurt.
What did you say, Lance? Traylon was starting to play well? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
He had good target share and everything. The problem is it's just They throw the ball like 20 times a game. So it's like if you have, you know, four targets on 20 throws, you have that 20% target share,
like,
but you only have
like
four targets.
Playing
yeah. So I see positive regression coming for Treylon Burks.
What do you think the price difference between Treylon and Zay Flowers is slash should be?
I mean, I can tell you what it is.
It's like Treylon's going half a round higher, so they're generally speaking the same.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I think that it's so hard to judge the Ravens offense in terms of, like, does OBJ have both his knees? Like, is he going to be a factor on this offense? Like, does Rashad Bateman have a foot, like, with his Liz Frank injury? Is he going to be a factor on this offense? Because if he is, now we're talking about Zay Flowers being the fourth option behind Mark Andrews as well. So he's either Zay Flowers is anywhere from the second to fourth option, I believe, on this offense, which is just high variability. Whereas Treylon Burks, I feel pretty comfortable. Now, I know they're going to pass a lot, so I'll just say Derrick Henry's like the first option on this offense. But I feel pretty comfortable knowing that Treylon Burks is one of the top options for the Titans. And if we're going to look at two teams that typically don't pass a whole lot anyway, I'd rather just go with Treylon Burks by a decent amount, I would say.
Same. I don't think I'm as kind of pessimistic or worried about him falling to the number four receiving option. I don't know. I'm just kind of out on Bateman. And I don't think Odell is going to be good enough to the point where it's going to stop, say, Flowers from not taking over the number one receiver spot. Obviously, Mark Andrews is still going to be number one in targets. But I just think Treylon Burks is a different level of talent. So I'm with you in terms of that sense. But I still like Zay Flowers a lot.
I think Bateman is pretty wildly overpriced right now. I think he should, in this startup draft, he's at 10.02 right now, sandwiched between Kamara and Waller.
Oh, I'll sell that.
I think, I just think that Bateman should be like where Gabe Davis is right now, because realistically, that's probably a similar risk player. I can understand if you'd rather have Bateman over Gabe Davis, but like, what about Tony? Like, are we really going to say that Tony and Bateman don't carry basically the same risk reward right now?
No, at this point, I'd say it's pretty similar.
Like, I have no fucking idea what's happening with either of those dudes. No one does.
Yeah.
I think I'd almost rather have Tony just because he's cooler.
I'd give Tony just because of how the Ravens treated the wide receiver position.
Shocking that Lunas likes Tony. I never would have guessed one.
You didn't let me finish the rest of my statement. The Chiefs didn't spend $18 or $17 million on a receiver coming off an injured knee than spend another first-round pick on a receiver.
That was more to appease their...
I think we all agreed it was kind of a little bit of an overpay for Odell. They invested a ton into the wide receiver position as well.
Yeah, but was that more so because they wanted to keep Lamar around, though, too?
Yeah.
Did Lamar sign the extension, though, before the draft?
No.
Before the draft, he did on the day of the draft, or the day before the draft, I think.
Whatever. He was before the draft, but it was like the same time as...
It was after OBJ.
The Ravens landing spot doesn't really scare me that much, because I think a year from now, if Zay Flowers is good his rookie season, it's going to be completely fine, because Odell's definitely going to be just like a
shell of himself.
Yeah, not necessarily a shell, but he's not going to be a main option guy. Like, if he's around there, it's not like now that's going to be the final year, right? So regardless, I think that Odell at the end of this season, not really in play for at least impacting Zay Flowers' value all that much. The other receivers, I don't give a shit, because if Zay Flowers is better than them all, then he's the number one receiving option, splitting it with Mark Andrews. But if he's good and he's able to just get that 20% target share, I don't really care about the pass attempts from before. I think that this team's going to air the ball out. I think they're just going to like let Lamar roam now that they gave him the fucking contract. They're like, listen, dude, we gave you the contract. It's Lamar ball out there. Like
Lamar ball.
I just think the problem with Tony, I mean, not Tony, Zay Flowers, is like, where is he rank on this offense? And so if you think, like Frank's saying, he's going to break into this role and everything, like, I think you should go out and be buying Zay Flowers. But if you think he's going to be stuck behind a couple of these guys, you're going to see that kind of panic meter thing go up like you saw with Sky Moore last year, where it's like, he's just not getting the playing time. He's stuck behind a really good tight end, some other wide receivers who are kind of I feel like it's a very similar situation to Sky Moore that we were seeing last year.
Ooh, I think that's a little rough, though.
Sky Moore, I mean, the draft capital was around higher. I'm willing to say that by the end of the season, so I don't know if the season, like the full season stats will indicate it, but by the end of the season, like the last couple weeks, Zay Flowers is going to be the receiver getting the most targets. Mark Andrews will still be on the top of overall guys, but I think Zay Flowers will kind of take that top spot by the end of the season.
You want to know what's interesting to me? Is that I feel like Jordan Addison is getting the biggest landing spot boost, yet I kind of like the other receiver landing spots more.
I mean,
JSN aside a little bit, because, but even so, it's like, I think all the, even JSN's landing spot, I can easily see a path to where if these guys play to their expectation, I guess, like if they pan out for a first round receiver, they are at least a top two option on their offense with a clear path of getting 20% of the targets.
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing with Addison. And I think having
Is it?
Yeah. And I think having an elite wide receiver one next to you helps. It like kind of draws those number one corners off of you, some of the safety. Look how Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown have helped Waddle and Devontae Smith.
I don't know about that.
Beforehand, but yeah.
No, I'm saying it's a boost. He doesn't have to go up against all those number one corners and as much safety attention with Tyreek Hill on the field also.
I'd just be more like you, because at that point you need to pass a lot and your offense needs to be really good. Like if you pass a lot and your offense is really good, that's fine. I don't really care about being a number three at that point. But if you're not, then that's an issue. Like, what happens if Kirk Cousins is not on this football team because for whatever reason they seem really hell-bent on drafting a quarterback every year?
I mean, sure, but, like, while he's there, did he pass for, what, 4,500 yards last season?
Yeah, while he's there, it's fine. But, listen, you see the same reports I do. Every single offseason, it's like the Vikings, they're looking at a quarterback again.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, what? Like, listen, I understand Kirk Cousins isn't Mahomes, but like, the guy's pretty good.
He hasn't been the, I mean, it, like, his season stats are good. I understand, like, he comes up small in some big moments. I get what you're saying, but I feel like it was really only the times when it's like they could get, like, one of those, like, top guys. Like, I feel like the rumors this year was, like, if they're able to trade up for one of those top three QBs. And then besides that, like, they passed on Levis, they could have drafted Levis.
Yeah, I'm just going through chat real quick and catching
Vikings
up.
Are a property franchise, thank you, Mike.
Don't get me wrong, I wish the best for Burks. Taking him over Watson was just too much pressure. I don't know, but he was an SEC lead wide receiver for an SEC team, and I don't think
he wanted AJ Brown part two. That was Watson, not Burks.
Yeah.
They wanted AJ Brown part two. That is so accurate. It's hilarious. Like,
Lamar was on pace for over 540 targets in 21. I'd rather have Flowers. Again, it's just where he ranks on that depth chart, I think. Hey, Joe. Pass volume was inflated in Minnesota by close
what
games
up, Joe?
They're playing every week. The close games in Minnesota is like a fair point. With Addison, I'll just chime in my Addison thoughts real quick. He's obviously clearly behind Justin Jefferson, and Lewis made the point like that could be good for him. I'm just worried, is he also behind like TJ Hockenson, for example, right? Like, is he going to be the third option on this Minnesota offense? Which in the first year, he might. I don't know what to think about Jordan Addison and what he ranks.
It was. Yep. Interesting, because I was actually having a conversation with my brother today about one of his rookie drafts where he's sitting in a spot with it was Quentin Johnson or Jordan Addison was the two players he was going between. And he was very much on the side of Quentin Johnson, and he kept bringing up the landing spot situations here where he was like, yeah, one's tied to a young QB in Justin Herbert. One's tied to a guy that they don't want. One's behind, you know, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, who's never healthy, either of them. The other is behind the best receiver in football. one doesn't have a tight end, and one has TJ Hockenson, who's a pretty good tight end. So, like, he was, I'm obviously on the side of Jordan Addison just because I think he's a better prospect than Quentin Johnson. I think JT would go down fighting on that one. But the landing spot situation is interesting to me because I just don't know how much stock you guys put into it personally, because I'm more on the side of talent will prevail, right? If you're that good, you're going to get on the field. You're going to see the targets. It doesn't really matter unless it's so bad that you just say, this is too bad. I don't think any of these wide receivers, especially in this draft class, got one of those landing spots. I mean, I personally had to drop Flowers like a spot, just swap him back with Addison just because, like, Ravens and, you know, sell all Ravens. Exactly. There you go, JT. Thank you. But how much, like, going forward, do you guys put a lot of stock in these landing spots?
Well, the problem with it is where you're saying talent will win out. I just think Quentin Johnston's the more talented wide receiver,
I'm talking like a general statement here. If you have two guys that are pretty closely ranked and are, you know, do you just go based on your evaluation of them and who do you have as the higher rated prospect, or do you guys sit there and go, okay, well, one has this situation, one has that situation? Because that's what it seems like we're talking about here with Zay Flowers, of like, yeah, he's a really good prospect and all, but he's behind Odell and behind Mark Andrews and the offense runs a lot. Like, sure, like, we understand the situation's not great, but it's like Frank's saying, if he's, or I think it was Lunis or somebody, he's probably the most talented receiver. Well, Odell, a healthy Odell, you know, 3 years ago is the best receiver on this team, but that's just not the same player you're getting at this point.
Yeah.
So in terms of actual wide receivers, like, who's more talented than Zay Flowers on this team? There's no one. What, James Prochet? Who are we talking about? Like, Bateman's clearly not what people thought when he drafted him. And Odell's coming off of a year where he didn't play in the NFL. Like, it's just a, like, he's the most talented and football ready player right now on this.
What were you gonna say about the landing spots? What was your take on the landing spots?
I do think it's fair to take a landing spot, so one's like great compared to another, but I was saying the ones between Minnesota and the Chargers, I don't think one is like significantly better than another to the point where, like, I think between those two, you just pick whoever you had ranked higher. I don't think there's like a huge discrepancy. I think I understand the cases for both. You say for Addison, he could be the number two receiver in offense that for the past three seasons has passed. Kirk Cousins had over 4,200 passing yards and like 30 plus touchdowns every season.
And we've seen them do it with Thielen before. So, like,
yeah. So I think both of them are like just good landing spots to the point where you just pick whoever's the more talented receiver. I don't think you have to like analyze it to the point where it's like, ooh, like, do the Chargers have the slightest of edges in terms of landing spots?
JT, what do you think, just from like a hypothetical perspective? Let's take the prospect thoughts out of this, because we know, and other people that listen to the pod probably know, that JT likes Quentin Johnston easily more than Addison.
Yeah. So what I do in these kind of instances is I think quarterback's kind of a big thing because we don't see quarterbacks move a whole lot. But otherwise, I'm not going to really factor in personnel. Instead, I'm going to look at the team's pass rate. Because, all right, why don't you come up with a team that you think passed a lot more in 2022 than they did in 2021? Just throw out a team.
The Lions.
Okay. We'll do the Lions first. The Lions in 2021 passed the ball 59.56% of the time. In 2022, they passed it 56% of the time.
Okay.
The Dolphins passed it 59.71% of the time. In 2022, they passed it 62% of the time. So they had a slight increase. The thing is, teams year over year, unless they have a huge organizational shift, are who they are. Like that, they typically keep the same philosophies, right? The problem being, like, we saw drastic decreases with Chicago and Atlanta, where Atlanta in 2021 passed it 61% of the time. They passed it 45% of the time in 2022. Whoa. Yeah. So
Arthur Smith ball, baby.
The problem there is the quarterback, though, right? Well, you went from Matt Ryan as your quarterback to then Marcus Mariota and I guess Desmond Ridder for a little bit. Like, it was a big shift in the quarterback play. So that's where I'm like, all right, like, if the quarterbacks both look like they're going to be there for a while, which in the case of Quinn Johnston and Jordan Addison, who I'm not considering like what they were as prospects, quarterbacks, I think I obviously like Justin Herbert a lot more. I think the team's going to pass more. That's why I lean Justin Herbert. But then, yeah, so basically, like, I'm just looking at, okay, one's got Justin Herbert and one's got a team that passed the ball 65% of the time in 2022. One's got Kirk Cousins and the team passed it 64.38% of the time. So it's very comparable. It's very comparable.
I have a lot of takes that have piled up here. Okay. I don't really know where to start. I don't know if I should respond to JT or go back to the landing spot Jesus. Thing. Because JT, I'll respond to JT real quick, because I agree with what you're saying with the pass rate and the organizational vibe and like the major shifts and things. But I would say I feel like how good the offense is potentially just kind of matters more than the specific rate outside of the outliers. Like, yes, the Falcons with Arthur Smith ball, where they are literally passing it like just wildly less than everyone else. Like, well,
I feel like calling it Arthur Smith ball is like you're replacing like derogatory words by just how putrid it was. Arthur Smith ball.
I mean, listen, that's just what they did. They're like, listen, yeah. we're running it, and then we're gonna run it again, and then we'll throw in a pass every once in a blue moon.
We're down by 21 to the Bengals in like the second quarter. Yeah, we're just gonna keep running it.
So like, yeah, you know, if you have a team that's pass rate is hovering around 45% compared to, you know, maybe like a league average of 55, you know, 54, 100%. Like, I'm not going to bet on the passing offense there. But like, when you're comparing like apples to apples, like, oh, this guy's 54.
The Chargers and Minnesota are like spot on next to each other.
Like, yeah, then it's just, okay, is this offense just going to be on the field more? More snaps equals more points. Now I guess in terms of actual landing spot and how, because this is an interesting conversation, and I was like, well, it happens with some players more than others. Like, sometimes I feel like landing spot matters a lot more than others. And I think for, in terms of prospect, if there is a prospect that's clearly in a tier of talent higher than the others, then I feel like at that point, landing spot doesn't really matter, right? It's like, well, this guy is just good. And I feel like that's an exponential level, right? Like, if we have a generational level player, does not matter what team they go to, because they are going to be the guy. They're generational. As we go down that chain, if it's like, okay, if they're like an average starter compared to like a slightly above average starter, then yeah, I can 100% take into the argument that landing spot matters more. I think the other thing too, though, that we have to determine is, you don't have to hold these players long term. So if you are selling a player, landing spot definitely matters, because when you are trading this player, the landing spot can impact the short term price movement pretty drastically, especially in the offseason.
I do agree with those very top guys where it kind of doesn't matter. Someone in the chat brought up Garrett Wilson, like, last year was an example where I forgot what was everyone's rankings, but he was, I remember, my wide receiver 1A or B. It was him and Jameson, where he kind of just stayed at the top because that's where I am. And then this year, I think Jake's, I know, also has Jason wide receiver 1. I think Frank does too. Even though I preferred the Chargers and Vikings lanes, but JSN is staying my wide receiver 1. I think when it comes to those like elite high-end guys, yeah, it shouldn't matter really. So I'm with you on that point. I think when you kind of get to like the lower tiers, is kind of, I guess, we can take it more into consideration, but I'm with you, Frank.
Yeah, like if we're comparing mid-third round picks, landing spot's going to actually matter a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm now looking at teams' pass rates from 2022. Just kind of a quick little aside here. But if I were to bet on teams seeing an increase / decrease in their pass rates, right? I'm looking at Seattle. They were at 59% last year. They brought in JSN. I think that goes up. I think they might be a top 10.
They also brought in Charbonnet.
Yeah, I don't really care too much.
I think they stick around that 40.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, They were 64% in 2021. They're 54% last year. I think we're going to see that positive regression back up for Pittsburgh.
I think you want to know what I think Pittsburgh is going to be like, what they're going to try and do? Mm-hmm. This is going to be the attempt. I think that they're going to try and go back to when our offense is really nasty, where we're generally a team that wants to pass the ball a good amount, but we have those handful of games where they just are run merchants, right? Like that away game in Buffalo at the end of the year where they just hand the ball off to Le'Veon a shit ton. I think they still want to have that flexibility with Najee.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Teams that I could see going down, Indianapolis was 10th in the league at 60% passing. They're 52% in 2020. That's going to be plummet. So that, like, actionable advice from this is, like, that has me worried about Michael Pittman.
Were they really that high
passing the ball? Well, Jonathan, you have to remember Jonathan Taylor was injured for a decent amount. So now you're, well, we're just going to feed Deion Jackson like 30 runs a game. Like,
man, they stunk. They were so bad.
Naheem Hines got hurt too. Yeah. Yeah. So those teams, interesting one is San Fran. It just depends on who the quarterback is, because they've been hovering around that 51%, which is 26th in the league.
That's not going to change. CMC. Because
it's not
Kyle Shanahan. You think it doesn't matter? Kyle Shanahan's going to run his offense no matter who's playing any position.
Brock, Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, regardless, it's just going to be 51%. Nope.
Yep.
Now I think if Trey Lance is starting, it's even a higher chance they run the ball more. We'll see more zone.
Could be. Well, yeah, that's why I'm saying.
Should we talk about Sam Darnold real quick? Should we just should I be buying Sam Darnold in all my leagues?
Yes. No. Yes, you should.
I have him on my rebuild league. I'll put it on the screen if you guys are. This team sucks. Like,
I was the guy that got clowned when they signed Sam Darnold, and I was like, something smells off here, and you're all like, yeah, go away. And now, who's buying Sam Darnold now?
Not me.
Still not me.
Like, do I buy Sam Darnold? I think
right now is a great time to sell him.
What does it cost me nowadays?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
Can I get him for a third?
Well, that's the question. Like, what is the price of Sam Darnold, I guess? Like, he's worth a roster spot. I give him that much.
I mean, it sucks that I have – but in our other rebuild league, I guess he's on the dude who's – he's on the Taco team. So Taco's going to want two firsts for him.
He is currently worth 1,600 Keep Trey Cup points or about a third-round pick.
I'll take the third.
As a rebuilding team, is that just not worth the risk? Like, okay, I can understand as a contender, like, you just kind of want to keep value where it is or use it on points.
I think it's fool's gold. I think I'd just sell him for a third.
What's Sam Howell's keep trade cut while you're there, Jake?
Wildly too high, whatever it is.
Wildly.
I want a comparison to Sam Darnold.
I'm calling it right now. Jacoby Brissett's about a Geno Smith the shit out of this season. And that's not going to happen, but I've bought a couple of Jacoby Brissett's in advance of it happening.
Jacoby Brissett.
Sam Howell's at 3,074.
Okay. He's a decent amount more.
He's a sell also.
Yeah, all right. I thought if they're comparable, I'd say I'd rather have Sam Howell, but being almost double the price, it's tough.
So here's the thing, because in chat, to clarify, Lance is starting week one, and if he sucks, Purdy starts week two. Here's the problem. What if Purdy isn't good? Like, this being a long-term starting NFL quarterback and having one good stretch of playing, like, for half the season, are two wildly different things. Ask, like, half of the quarterbacks that even got contract extensions in somewhat recent history. Like, there are dudes who have gotten massive contracts because a team was like, well, he showed half a season, we've got him, right? Like, or even a couple games, and it's like all of a sudden they suck. Like, and Lance hasn't even been good. Like, I think Lance will be the starter, but what if he's not ready? And then Sam Darnold's the only guy left.
That's a lot of what ifs, though.
That's a lot.
I think Sam Darnold is good, though. I actually
don't. Sam Darnold's not good.
Sam Darnold is nice.
They don't need high.
Y'all forget how good of a prospect Sam Darnold was.
Unfortunately, I do think Shanahan likes Purdy more than Lance. even though I think Lance is the more talented and will be the better quarterback. But I think while Purdy's hurt, it's going to be Lance. It'd be, like, stupid not to. You might as well see and, like, try to start him. Even if you think Purdy's the guy, you start Lance, he's going to look good in the offense, so you could trade him. Like, and I think he'll be able to run it effectively, too. So, yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm out on Darnold. I'm out on Howell. I think Lance will get a shot. For how long, I don't know, but he'll get a shot.
I mean, how much do I got to pay for Darnold?
Not a third.
Am I just lighting my third on fire?
Yeah. But it'll be awesome.
Even you said yeah. What's the price on Drew Lock? Someone tell me what the price on Drew Lock is. Because I think there's a legitimate chance we have Drew Lock starting games this year. Give me Drew Lock for a fifth.
Drew Lock's in Seattle.
Seattle, yeah, I know. There's a lot of players that I think that you could just get who might end up starting games, like, because whether it's injury or due to bad play, teams out of contention. So Drew Lock's one. Desmond Ridder, I think he's like rated too high still for me to go out and get Desmond Ridder, but I do think he could start games this year. I mean, if Zach Wilson's the backup quarterback for the Jets, like, I think there's a chance, like, if Aaron Rodgers gets injured, he's a good player to have for just for like free.
Oh, Zach Wilson. I bought Zach Wilson for fab in one of my leagues.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, for free. I could go get these guys.
Davis Mills, I too. I picked him up for fab. Just why not?
I honestly don't.
I wish I knew how to say our Christian Watson fan here's name, because it's kind of like that meme where the two guys are like shaking hands. That, like, you know, me and him are on the same side here as in terms of Trey Lance. I'm going to try it. Shadrach, I'm gonna go with. Tell me if that's wrong.
Can we get some feedback on that? Can you, like, maybe
we're calling Joe Herbert for like probably a year and a half before we learned it was the wrong way. Okay, I'll take good enough.
You were throwing an extra R at Joey.
Yeah. So long. So anyway, though, in terms of like Trey Lance, he had a good game in the second half against the Seahawks in his rookie year. He then had to play in a monsoon where Justin Fields also wasn't good against the Bears. And then he broke his ankle in that second game, right? Like, we've had no real sample evidence of Trey Lance so far. So to say Trey Lance is bad and behind Brock Purdy, who, I mean, won games, but Jimmy G won games, but despite being one of the worst quarterbacks in leagues by any advanced metric, like, to say, oh, yeah, Brock Purdy went out there and he did it, which is what Shanahan said, who's to say Trey Lance also can't do it? And that's what Kyle Shanahan has said. He's like, we thought Trey Lance could do this. He got hurt. Brock Purdy went in. He did do it. Now he's hurt. Now Trey Lance has the chance again to do it. I don't know. I think people are just reading way too much into this in terms of like what's going on. I think Trey Lance is the day one starter. I think he's going to be fine for the 49ers. And I think that's whatever. I'm not saying to go out and buy Trey Lance, though, because at this point, it's just, everyone's all over the place. It is like a shakier buy than whatnot. If you're going out and you want to spend on the quarterback, just go out and get Kyler Murray instead. Just spend a little more, get Kyler Murray. But I'm team Trey Lance.
Honestly, though, if you can get Darnold for a fourth, I think it's worth it.
Check your trades.
I am, you Jimbo.
I mean, I'll give you a fourth. I thought I gave you something better. I'll see you, Linus.
What league is this? The original third and 20 league.
You guys ready to see this get done here live on the pod?
I don't think it's getting done, buddy.
Wait, so you're not going to take that fourth you just said you would take it for?
No, I said I'll if you get Darnold for a fourth, you yeah, I would
oh,
do it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're backwards. You're backwards, Jimbo.
Nuts. What, you won't take Hayden Hurst for him? What do I got to give on top of Hayden Hurst?
I don't know.
He's still in the league.
Dude, he's actually on the Panthers. He's tight end one on the Panthers. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, he is.
How many people have fallen into that trap with the other teams he's been on?
Oh, you want Mike Williams? Give me something on top for Sam Darnold for Mike Williams.
You would have to pay me to take Mike Williams.
Oh,
I can't.
He's about to get usurped by Quinn Johnston.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Show me the Spurs right now. Show me the Spurs, Mark Tatum.
Oh, the Rockets are the fourth pick. They
all
were
right,
the
what other assets should I be trading for in my rebuilds? Because I'm curious. Or slash, should we trade for in our rebuild?
I'm just saying it's coming down to the two teams I was between. For our rebuild?
Yeah, we can.
We already have a lot of guys that I really like.
Show us on the screen, which we do right now.
Wow, Lunas. Wow, Lunas. It happened.
My lock, and you guys didn't let me do it.
Wait, what happened?
The Spurs got the first pick in the NBA draft. Lunas had that at plus 550.
Oh, nice. Lock
and then let him.
Plus 550 odds.
Well, the Spurs are getting Victor Wembanyama. And that was talking basketball on the
Dynasty. Look at this nonsense. They get a big man first overall every time. I can't stand it. This is the one team I didn't want to win.
Yeah, did we screw up trading 201 for Mac Jones? Because now I kind of want Will Levis now that you've talked me into him.
Well, I was thinking ways for us to trade up and get Will Levis. We just don't really have them. We didn't really have the necessary.
Oh, dude, this team that we took over, we took this over like a year ago or so. This team sucked, man. This team was so bad. We're out here, though. We're turning it around.
Our best.
We need some of these dudes to pan out.
Who'd we take in the draft?
We picked up Tyjae, Tank Dell. We got Bryce Young. Brown. We got Bryce Young. Darnell Washington. I put Bryce Young on the taxi.
Yeah, we don't want to win.
Should we think about trading Bryce Young?
I'm not opposed, to be honest. Like, I don't really. We have to get a good return, but.
We would need a great return, but I'm not opposed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we get a great return,
Is that I think realistically, if Mac Jones doesn't completely suck, then we can have our quarterbacks figured out. We have a tight end as of right now.
And we also have Kyler on this team, right?
Yeah, so our quarterbacks and tight end are going to be figured out. We're going to have some nice capital to unload because we're going to have two early firsts. Both these firsts should be early, by the way, because we're actively tanking. And this other team, Boom Boom Bust, listen, if you are Boom Boom Bust in the chat... Or if you ever watch this, Mr. Boom Boom Bust, I have nothing but love for you. But holy crap, you need to rethink a lot of your moves and how you view Dynasty football because
he gave us a first really for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, we got a first for Sam Darnold, right? Speaking of thirds, like we got an early first for Sam Darnold when he was like the starting QB or whatever. And
it was like after week one and he had a good game with the Panthers or something. It was crazy.
And yeah, this was not like we were savvy and timed the market well. This was like this guy just wildly overpaid for Sam Darnold for whatever reason. Like, but unethical life tip number one, find the taco and make a bunch of trades with him because that's the easiest way to get good in Dynasty. But yeah, I was thinking that next year, if we held the QBs, just kept making value deals with the rest of our shitty roster, next year we can actually put together a cord where we don't have to completely tank. And we actually could go with we trade all of our 25-pick strat to go get more players. Like we could trade down, trade some of our 2024 picks and all of our 2025 picks. Four players so that we can actually turn around and compete.
I'll tell you what, one of these top four wide receivers is going to be undervalued going into next year. It's kind of just how it works. So I think we go out and get whichever one of the Addison, Quinn Johnson, Zay Flowers, or I'm missing JSN, whichever one like isn't rightly priced, I think we get that guy. That'll be part of our wide receiver build. Not too familiar with the running back class next year outside of Henderson.
Donovan Edwards too young?
Yeah.
And yeah, they were freshmen last year, right?
Yeah, let me see if I can find a Debbie ranking. We have
that Penn State dude. Was he a freshman?
I believe so. Singleton?
Yeah.
I believe he was a freshman.
Because you have Henderson, you've got that Wisconsin back who's pretty good. I'm pretty sure Clemson has a back who's pretty good.
Oh, Clemson yeah, all right. Back. Beast.
Will Shipley.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the top
obviously
seven.
Obviously, you have whatever the Michigan dude. What's his name?
Blake Corum.
Yeah, Blake Corum, who's pretty nice.
The top seven are Travion Henderson, Raheem Sanders out of Arkansas, Blake Corum, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, Will Shipley, Clemson, Trey Benson out of Florida State, and Donovan Edwards, also Michigan.
Benson looks like a beast, and I like that Wisconsin.
Is the Wisconsin? You say the Braylon Wisconsin Allen. Guy? Yeah.
Braylon
yeah.
Allen.
The problem with Braylon Allen, and I've said it before, he just doesn't have that top speed. I've watched the Wisconsin games before, like. When he breaks those, like when he gets out and sees open field, he constantly gets caught up with. Like he just doesn't have
Little known fact, JT, that's probably the most overrated aspect of running backs, in my opinion.
Nope, I'm very much. If you're getting caught from behind, I'm putting in like a Najee Harris case. If you're getting caught, I don't like it. And that's how I feel about Braylon Allen. He's getting caught. Because the thing is, right, he'll probably have a good 40 time, but it's just on the field speed. It's different. It's a different animal.
I think, I don't know.
Actually, not true.
Depends on the context, but I don't really care about, like, for receivers and running backs getting caught from behind. Like, if you can't run and you can't make people miss running, that's a different story.
But I'm talking about, like, if we're saying he's one of the best running backs, like, the best running backs have those. Specifically what I've seen from Braylon Allen.
Not all of them. No, not all the best running backs have that just crazy open field. I run away from
the
back.
Who would you say don't?
Le'Veon Bell sucked.
Yeah, that's
where
I was
going
to go. That's
first off, I mean, for starters, right? Like, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott was never – I mean, he had definitely more wheels in his day.
He definitely did, yeah.
But, like, he was never necessarily, like, a burner. I mean, he had some powerful-ass fucking legs. I mean, Dalvin never really had that crazy speed. I just feel like there's a ton of backs that don't necessarily. Oh, no, I'm not looking at a list. So, like, listen, there's a difference between slow and okay. You just got caught from behind by a D back. Like, okay, fine. Like, it's whatever. Like, it also depends on the play a little bit, right? Like how much you got caught up from behind.
Now you're making me look up
and the angle. But I care more about can you execute the run scheme and get like the first 10 yards? Because if you're a running back that can't ever get 10 yards, you suck.
Well, sure. Sure.
And I think that there's a whole lot more runs that go for less than 10 than over 10. Like the degree of over 10 yard runs. Like, if we're differentiating that, it's like, eh.
All right, here I am watching Braylon Allen season highlights. I'm against Illinois. Yeah, it's just like, it seems like in the NFL, like, these runs that he breaks to the outside, like, the NFL-type players are just going to get him before.
Barry Sanders, not elite fast. I mean, he was quick as fuck. Yeah, okay. What are some other rebuild targets, though? What about Jelani Woods, actually? No, before rebuild targets.
No.
I kind of want to sell this motherfucker.
At this point, he's dead. But
yeah, but is he priced like he's dead? Wait, why is he dead?
Anthony Richardson's his quarterback.
I just don't understand, like, what does that have to do with him?
This team's going to pass the ball, like, 50% of the time. He's going to be behind Michael Pittman. And I think Josh Downs at this point. Plus, also, there's other ones.
The issue? I don't know. I feel like his hype is just no longer there. We can't sell him.
Yeah.
We need to somehow sell Cooks for something. We just can't get. I've never seen a league where it's this hard to trade Brandon Cooks. I feel like every other league.
It's so impossible.
I've tried to give up my second in so many leagues.
At this point, though, at this point, I don't mind Brandon Cooks because he is on Dallas and I think he's going to have a good season. and then maybe people start knocking on our door.
Yeah, but
let's wait and just have him be like a good player for a little bit, because we know he's a good player.
What about Brian Robinson? Do we hold Brian Robinson?
Probably not.
Loan from Brian Robinson.
Probably.
What should we offer him for?
A second.
Just straight up for picks? Or could we move him for like a wide receiver? That's interesting.
What if we if we package Cooks and Brian Robinson, what's the best receiver that we could get?
Oh, you want to package the two of them together?
I mean, if we're trying to get a receiver, I'm down to get someone who doesn't completely suck. Or if we did like Brian Robinson in a second.
Well, what if we just throw them all together? Cooks, Brian Robinson, and a second.
I just feel like those package deals for someone really good, do those ever really work?
No, not typically.
Keep Trade Cut says we can get CeeDee Lamb, so
yeah, let's just get CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, just get CeeDee Lamb for a bunch of seconds, lol.
Look, you're gonna hate this one. Lunas, I think, will be on my side. Jake, you're kind of wild card here.
Oh boy,
Frank's gonna hate it though. We could trade Brian Robinson for Elijah Moore. Straight up.
I'd rather have Elijah Moore than Brian Robinson.
That's what I'm saying. Them both for Ayuk. Can we get that?
I would do that.
Ooh, cheeky. I like that.
Is that a trade that someone would be willing to accept? How do I do a trade on this app?
I mean, it's probably
incredible how much better the phone app for Sleeper is than the desktop.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks and Brian Robinson for Ayuk.
Like this grid view. I got to do the grid view because I wasn't able to search and trade, or at least I couldn't find the buttons.
Wow, that comes out very close to even.
Did I already offer this trade? I feel like I may have already offered this trade. How do I look at my previous trades on this?
I don't know. I think I'd be able to see them. Yeah.
Alec Pierce is a sleeper. Dude, I don't know. I just don't. Me and you, Shadrock, we have very different receivers that we like. You know, I respect it. But you're the type of dude that has all of player A, and then I'm the guy in the league that doesn't have those guys. And it all works out perfectly.
Yeah, I'm more out on Alec Pierce than I am in. I'm not actively getting Alec Pierce.
No, I just think Michael Pittman and then Downs, and this team's not going to pass the ball. It's just not where I want to be.
I still like Pierce. I think Pierce is a better receiver than Downs, even though I like Downs.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he got better draft capital.
No, I don't see it. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, look where they're drafted. It's not a crazy trade. All
right, someone offer that trade, or am I going to have to figure it out in this app?
What's the trade?
I can figure it out in the app. I'm already there.
Okay.
Ayuk. Who has Ayuk in that league? Is the real question.
Benelli.
Is that the one who's never active? Because that could also provide.
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the answer to Josh Downs and Alec Pierce is neither of them. If I had to, I would just go elsewhere.
All right, what else do we trade these guys for?
All right, well,
we put all our biscuits in on JSN.
What about Judy? How about Judy? I'd do it for Judy.
I kind of like it.
I'm
what's less the price optimistic about Judy, but... Judy?
Not much.
I mean, listen, I would do it for what's his name.
I'd rather Ayuk.
Yeah, Ayuk's receiver 24, Judy's receiver 27. They're basically.
I don't think this guy's going to actually accept this trade, but there's that. Because, how far down the food chain are you willing to go?
Okay, let me look at ADP again here. So we have Paiute. Where's Hollywood? I'd 100% go and get Hollywood.
We could try for Hollywood.
Hollywood's all the way down on receiver 35.
Hollywood and Deontay Johnson. Those are two that I'm looking at.
I know I think I offered him this trade, though.
Anyone want to trade for Deontay Johnson in our home league?
I'll trade you right now for Deontay.
Please.
What's the price on Deontay now?
His keep trade cut price?
Like draft pick equivalent wise.
I mean, I want like 110.
What about Terry McLaurin? Do we trade for Terry McLaurin?
I'm not a fan. I think Terry gets all the hype in the world and not a lot of output. Honestly. And I could be wrong on that one, but not saying he's not a good player. I just think he's stuck in Washington.
You don't believe in Jacoby Brissett?
Hey, Jacoby's my boy.
Is Brissett going to be the best quarterback McLaurin has played with?
Yeah.
He had 1,190 yards.
What about Christian Kirk?
No.
Yeah. Now that Calvin Ridley's.
Also, are we sure Ridley's definitely going to be ahead of him?
I don't even care if he's ahead of him or not. I just think they're going to eat into each other.
What about Greg Dulcich?
I like Greg. What are we trading for?
We also have Kyle Pitts in that league, so is it really worth anything?
We're in the business of just good things, all right? shape or size or position they come in. If someone else likes them, I want them.
That is fair.
I don't know. I'm just trying to do a trade that's actually going to get done because these good receivers, like, no one's going to want to trade these guys. I really doubt these trades get accepted.
I'm trying to do a live on air trade now here with Jake. I'm trying to figure out. Amon's out. I don't have a lot of stuff Jake would want that I'd be willing to give up with.
Because, like, yeah, we could get Dulcich plus.
So wait, what in your mind? What do you think we would trade for Dulcich?
I don't know, both those guys for like Dulcich and a third or something, or Dulcich and someone else on his team. Dulcich and a second, whatever we can get. I don't know.
I mean, Brian Robinson probably... Cook for Dulcich and.
No, I mean, I think you could just. There's no way. Dulcich is worth that much?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I can't get a fucking second for Brandon Cooks, so I just think it's Brandon Cooks that's part of the issue.
Just do Cooks, right? Brandon Cooks for. Oh, wow. I did not expect that. Dulcich is worth more than Brandon Cooks? That's
absurd. Yeah, 100%.
The tight end market is.
That is absurd.
I mean, like, just like a good young, a tight end that produced that was good and young in tight end premium versus Brandon Cooks. Like,
the wasteland is as big as ever. So those guys are going to get a jump in value.
Wow. Even if you add not that.
Yeah, because I had offered that trade for Hollywood earlier. Put the ADP back on the screen. I mean, do any of these guys above, like Treylon, maybe Treylon people are giving up on?
That's the hope, right? You find someone like a Treylon that wants to get out.
But do you think we would just have an easier time doing like Brandon Cooks in a second for Treylon or Brandon Cooks and Brian Robinson?
People probably want picks most of the time.
Because I would trade for Dotson just because I think that actually gets done potentially, and I really like Dotson. Elijah Moore, yeah, JT was saying Elijah Moore as well. Should we trade for Elijah Moore?
I would do Elijah Moore. I don't know what you want to give up, but
let's see. Where is Elijah Moore in ADP? I trade for Elijah Moore. Fuck it.
44.
Here he is, next to Juju.
Brian Robinson, straight up.
Okay, we can do that. RIP one of my Brian Robinson shares, though. I love you, Mr. Robinson.
Cheers to you, Mr. Robinson.
I mean, Elijah Moore, I don't know, I'm off and on with Elijah Moore, but I was looking at his college profile not too long ago. He was fucking nasty for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Him and DK together. Get
better than Mingo.
Hey, listen, I like Mingo. I think Mingo's a good player. But yeah, Elijah Moore was like nasty level.
Yeah.
Ash offered you a trade in our league, Jake. Wait, let me take off the direct message.
I'm excited to see Elijah Moore this season. I think he has a really good year.
You traded for him in the second, third, and 20 league, right? What'd you give up for him?
Was it a second round pick? Yeah, I forgot exactly where the pick was. I think it was like a mid second or something, like 204. Somewhere around there.
Well, that's 14 team league as well. So it's kind of like a mid second, or was it 202? Yeah.
I forgot. I'll look it up.
Well, yeah, you almost traded. That's Mingo's ADP right now, right? Is that pick versus or around that pick?
Around
I guess you could take, because Tank Bigsby will be there. Laporta might be there.
Yeah. So, just says 2023 second round.
Josh Downs might be there in some leagues as well. So you kind of have to factor those players in as well.
Yeah.
JT, would you take that field at wherever that pick is? What is it, 206, 205 in a 12-team league, or Elijah Moore right now?
I think, and it's funny because I think a month ago, Lewis and I literally did this trade. I think I might take Elijah Moore at this point.
Well, who did you... Listen,
that's a good question.
Who did I use that pick for other stuff, though?
Yeah, wait. So I was the second, third, and 20 league. So in that league, I ended up taking.
I think you traded that second.
I might have.
It was 204.
Yeah, I ended up trading it, and that person took Rashi Rice.
So it's 206 in a 12 team league. I'll take Elijah Moore. I still think it's pretty good value, though. I think it's a fair trade.
Should we try and trade Cooks for Sky Moore? Do we get in the Sky Moore shit show? Or are we bailing someone out there?
You might be bailing.
No, thank you.
I'd pass on Sky Moore.
I did take him to score in the Super Bowl, which was nice, though.
I would say we should trade for Jalen Hyatt, but we drafted him. Oh, wait, did we? No, I don't think we did.
Jalen Hyatt. I don't think we got Jalen Hyatt.
Oh, we should trade for Jalen Hyatt.
You have to be in the top 5% of Jalen Hyatt people.
No Sky.
Yeah, Sky's a weird one. I have Sky. I think I'm just content holding him and seeing what he does. I'm not going out and buying him. I'm not panic selling him.
Well, like, who can we trade Cooks for straight up? That would be worth
it. In this league, no one. No one wants Cooks.
We've only tried to trade him. I guess, yeah, we have tried to trade him for other players as well. Yeah, it might be worth keeping Cooks. He's so low. All right, who's other players we could trade? Who's Dimes going to throw to? I just think Jalen Hyatt's a good player.
Oh, you're talking about. He's okay. Someone has interest in Brandon Cooks, Young Guns.
What about Brian Robinson? Who's other players we should trade Brian Robinson straight up for?
Let me just think of like straight running back for running back.
Well, should we try and trade him for Downs, whoever took Downs?
I don't really want Downs. This might be a lateral move. Let me check in terms of where they're rated. Brian Robinson versus this guy.
Every player on that squad should be a candidate for a tear down. Yeah, I'm just trying to get assets that I think can go up slash I kind of want for next year, because I think next year, given that we're going to have two early firsts, we're going to have enough value to actually compete at that point if we make some trades. Because we'll have a core that's decent. We need some of these players on our team right now to pan out. We need to make a trade or two that pans out for next year, which is why I want to get rid of the Cookses of the world. Dude, I think Waller's a bait. I know I've talked about this before, because Joe Hebert said Dimes throwing to his tight end. I don't know, I watched more Darren Waller and Raiders stuff from last season. I hope y'all realize that Darren Waller was fucking terrible when he played last year.
He was bad.
He had a hamstring injury throughout the season.
A hamstring injury or not, he was garbage.
He was bad.
I have Darren Waller on one of my most contender squads. And so I'm partly hoping that he pans out, right? Like, but I am fucking terrified that this dude is going into the ground.
I mean, I'm terrified of injuries also. But I think when fully healthy, he's still productive. I think last year, I don't know, he had a hamstring injury that went out. Like, there were multiple games where he didn't finish. He started the game and then, like, played, like, 30% of it. So I understand. And the injury concerns is why he's so cheap, because he can't stay healthy, and I don't have faith in him to stay healthy. But I'm saying health is the main thing I'm worried about.
The thing I'm worried about is that I feel like on the Raiders, he was just fed because it's like, oh, it's Darren Waller. He's good. Like, we'll throw it to him a bunch. And then he kind of was super inefficient with all those targets. And a smarter team is like, yeah, listen, I'm not saying he will be bad or anything. Like, he could be like a little Evan Ingram maybe. But I think, like, what if he's kind of just like mid as fuck?
I have a lateral move to suggest.
All right, what do you want to do?
I would like to move Brian Robinson for Khalil Herbert.
I'm kind of about it, but also kind of not.
I think they're ranked like almost dead equal on keep trade cut.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson's 36, Khalil Herbert's 37 in terms of running back. I just really like Khalil Herbert's outlook a lot more than Brian Robinson's.
Yeah, but this Bears team went out and got Roshan and Dante Foreman.
I do not care. I don't think either of them are that great.
I was thinking maybe B-Rob for A.J. Dillon. I kind of like A.J. Dillon.
Yeah,
still in the A.J. Dillon camp?
Oh, dude, I like A.J. Dillon at his price.
I think A.J. Dillon's going to get
fed. What's his price now, though?
See, I also like Brian Robinson. I think Brian Robinson is good.
Yeah. He's fine.
He's okay.
He's not exciting enough.
What if we traded for Tony and then just prayed he was good week one and sold him on the hype?
You're a man who likes gambling.
We just go, we take our chips and we go to the Chiefs roulette wheel of wide receivers.
And we pick one and go, okay, I'm in.
Maybe Eric Bieniemy schemes up a top tier offense and B-Rob goes up in value. I mean, I'm not going to bet on it, especially seeing what happened with CEH.
Yeah, the only problem is that headline came out about them giving Gibson more touches. So people are going to be like, well, now Gibson's good. So
remember when he was like punt returning in preseason last year?
That was so funny.
I like Gibson still, but.
I do as well, and I was actually going to start to probably try to go get him if that report didn't come out, just because I thought he was way too low.
Yeah, I sold all my Gibsonses, and now just haven't gotten them back.
Gibbs eyes.
Yeah, like you said, though, the report, now it's too late with that report. Everyone's going to be fucking shitting their jimmies over it.
You think so? Like, Do people still buy
the off season? That's what they do. That's what people do. You got to buy and sell on reports. And that was a positive report. So price just doubled. Sucks. You're game over. Wait for the negative one.
He's still so cheap. Antonio Gibson. Let's say he even goes up.
Is this the last year of his contract?
Gibson. So wait, he was drafted in the DeAndre Swift
draft, 2020. Right?
So it is. Because Swift only has 1 year left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is the last year. I want him to go to a different team.
Now, hear me out on this strat, because I just thought of something that's not going to work, but I kind of want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
What if you just tried to go, instead of going for young players, you just tried to work your way up the chain of old player by positional need? So, we flip our B-Rob into, a Kamara, and then we try to just trade Kamara for a half a tier up player at a different position, filling someone else's need, and then just try to do that with an old player until we're able to get a first.
That seems like a lot of work.
What do we think? How bad of an idea is that?
We need the league to be we need the league to be active enough for this to work. Yeah. And they're not inactive. But we don't get trades that often.
Yeah, you rarely get a trade or a counter in this league, which is unfortunate.
Oh my god. Put Gibson in the Ja Morant video to lower his value.
I'm just thinking, Dynasty basketball and having Ja Morant must be a roller coaster. I don't know if they compare it to in the NFL.
Oh my god.
Like Deshaun, maybe?
Yeah, the only thing is he was waving it around off camera.
Oh, Frank. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about? Or
I'm good. I don't want to
get in trouble here.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to think of who would be the Ja Morant. I don't know.
Lunas, conversation for another day.
if you guys made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Yeah, we kind of just messed around this episode. But hopefully you guys liked it. We'll be back next Tuesday with more stuff. So peace out. See ya. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.